I had a very sad experience recently. I was at an airport, and at that airport I was waiting for a connecting flight. And I believe it was about a two-hour layover, and I was sitting there, and the lady directly behind me was telling another lady a story. It was a lengthy story. It went on for quite some time. It was very sad to hear that story. The lady said this. She said, I had a baby girl. Oh, I looked forward to the day she was going to be born. And in fact, I wrote the day that girl was born, I wrote her a letter. It was a lengthy letter, apparently, but she expressed so much in that letter. And then she said, I sealed that letter. When the baby was one, I wrote on the birthday a letter again, and a lengthy letter. And I sealed that letter. And on the second birthday, and on the fifth, and on the tenth, and every year, I've written a letter. Apparently, the daughter did not know that. She said, this girl and I were the dearest and closest of friends. She said, she literally was my best friend. She was a perfect daughter. She went on to say, no drugs, no drink, nothing wrong. For 20 years. And she said, when she turned 20, it's like things changed. She moved to a European country. The story as she was telling it, she had a baby. I don't know if it was out of wedlock, I didn't catch all that, but she said she had a baby. She said she doesn't want me to see her. She doesn't want me to come. I tried to do anything I can. I'll move to a nearby country just to be there. But she said it's all been cut off. Now, let me just interject this to you big shots. When you grow up and you leave father and mother, you still, if you have a father and mother, you stay connected with that father and mother. There is nothing wrong with calling your mother many times a week. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not talking about that if she's your 411 and you talk for hours every day and your husband can never get a word, but there's nothing wrong with talking to your mother. Nothing wrong with calling your dad. Nothing wrong with reaching out to your mother and dad. The fifth commandment is still in the Bible. Honor thy father and thy mother. I know we leave home, but that doesn't mean you reject your mom and dad. My dad, just a few days, will be gone 1 year. I tell you, I'd give anything just to, I know it sounds, I have a video of, I was on the airplane there yesterday, I was listening to my dad talk, and it was so broken and so strange. He wasn't very good. You couldn't hear him very well. And I just kept looking, and I looked at pictures of that man. I said, I love that man so much. I did something yesterday I've not done in the year he's been gone. And I know I did not do this for my mother, though I loved her dearly. I took a picture of my dad in the casket. I never thought of doing that before. It was kind of morbid to me. That day when I saw him in that casket, it was so overwhelming. And I took a picture of him, and I opened it up yesterday. I said, I just kept looking at him. I miss you so much, Dad. I love you so much. The last word I have recorded, I love you, son. I wish some of you kids would understand that when you go to college, you still have a mother, Dad. You don't have to call him every time. Well, I got a bad grade in Oxidine's class. I tell you what, he's an idiot. I got some demerits I didn't deserve. Well, you missed a lot that you deserve too. Come on, friends. Love your parents. And you can hear the pathos in this mother's voice. She just, I don't think she wanted to smother her. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think she wanted to smother her. But for 20 years, they were like this. And then all of a sudden, cut off. I want to speak to you for just moments about shattered dreams. Shattered dreams. You know, God had a dream for the people of Israel. And he compared him to a vineyard. And God saw this vineyard. And it just grew wild grapes. He did everything he could. I like the phrase what we read here. What more could have I done for my vineyard? What more could I have done in my marriage? Good night. What else could I have done for that man or for that woman? What else could I have done for that son or daughter? What else could I have done? You fill in the blank. I want you to see tonight with this thought of shattered dreams. Potential was there. Potential was there. Look at verse 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song. To my beloved, chapter 5, Isaiah. Touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard. In a very, there was potential there. This wasn't rocks. This wasn't desert. This vineyard was on a very fruitful hill. You teenagers, in God's dear name, you have elementary school, Christian school, and high school, and mothers and dads are sacrificing and pouring their life into you, and Sunday school teachers and coaches and music classes and computer classes and shop classes and home economics classes. On and on it goes. You have been planted in a very fruitful hill. Why, when you turn 20, do you turn for the briar and for the thicket and for the thorns and say, I'm going out here to live like I want to. I want to be free. You're enslaving yourself and putting yourself in bondage. Before you make that foolish decision, you young people, before you throw away the dreams of a mother and the dreams of my mother, she never, I know, she wasn't perfect. I know your dad wasn't perfect. I know your pastor wasn't perfect. I know the Sunday school, I know all that. Well, they weren't fair to me. You have been planted a very fruitful hill. A very rich soil. We live in America. During the Iraqi war, the average soldier in Iraq was 15. 15! Living as nomads and shooting what was considered the enemy. As a teenager, you weren't brought up in Beirut. You weren't brought up in Iraq or Iran. I'm not against these countries. I'm just saying we have been raised in a fruitful place. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. Purple mountain majesty above. Oh, the fruited plain. What are you thinking? Sir, you've been planted in a good marriage. You have a good field. You're in a good place. You have a wife. Oh, she's not perfect. She can't be. She married you. Ah, my wife, I can't get along with her. Well, of course you can't. She's a woman. And I'm going to tell you, dear lady, something. you're not going to get away with, you're not going to get along with that man all the time, because men are not really all connected up there. I'm not pitting one against the other, that ladies are bad and men are perfect. Oh, absolutely not. Oh, what a happy day when God brought that mate into your life. Cherish her. Just 2 years before my dad died, my mother died this next month as well, 2 years ago. My dad was so lonely for my mother after all those years. He'd ask about her. And then as things began to get a little foggy, and she was already gone, I was playing one of our CDs, and I said, Dad, who's playing that music there? Who's playing? Oh, that's your mother. She's been playing the piano all day today. She'd already been in heaven. She just kept living in his mind. I asked him one time, I said, Dad, what? I can't remember this thing here. I think I was asking about his gas station, filling station. He had in Milwaukee back in the 40s. And I said, now, Dad, what was that year? When did you buy that gas station? I think it was just a one-pump gas station, those little old things. And I said, when did you buy that? Because I can't remember, son. I can't remember. I'll ask your mother when I see her later tonight. Well, he wasn't going to see her. As we get older in life, and I'm old, my wife's not. You dear friends watching from Gospel Light, if you're watching right now, Brother Fred Sly, we've never in 30-some years we've worked together, never traveled again. I took him with me, and we were walking down the hallway, and somebody behind me said, hey, Brother Treber! He's 56 years old. I'll just go ahead and tell his age. Hey, Brother Treber, did you bring your son with you? That old gray-headed man is not my son. It's sweet. I was going through a food line afterwards, and a sweet little widow lady said, Brother Treber, I think you and I are the same age. I said, well, how old are you? She goes, 77. God bless you. Some of you think I'm 77. I'm not. I'm 84, but nonetheless. I love the best one, Clarence Sexton, Dr. Clarence Sexton and Evelyn. They just both kept saying, Brother Jack, you look good. Thank you, Brother Clarence. You're a good man. I like that kind of stuff. That would have been a good place for you to say, amen, I look good too. That's going to take you 10 more minutes in this message. I'm going to add it on. You respond when you think, I think something's good. Brother Treber, you look good. Amen. Yeah, let's get out of here. I've been planted for 42 years in a very fruitful hill. There's not a better place to pastor in the world than right here. A fruitful hill. I want you to see, not only I see in this text there's potential, but I see there's perspiration. Perspiration was there. Potential was there. He fenced it. He worked at this thing. He fenced it. He gathered up the stones. He planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower. Tower's there for protection. I think of how your sweet mama has been pulling those stones out, and then you won't even call her when you don't need her anymore, you don't think. I think how that sweet old dad of yours, he's been pulling those stones out for you all these years, to make your path safe in life. And he pulled out government education, and he's made sure that you had a good school to go to. He's made sure you've had a good church to attend. He's made sure, and your mother's made sure you're part of that youth group, and they made sure that you got part of camp, and they got made sure you're part of youth conference, and they made sure, and they cleared the path for you, and then you can't even call them. That sweet wife, she gets up and she clears out the rocks, and She fenced it. She goes to that kitchen. Came home the other night, and like every night, when I come home every night, there's a meal. And I thought, I'm so glad and grateful God's not made me a lady. I'd hate to cook every day. I'd hate it. Come on, fellas. She said, well, I like cooking. Go ahead. I don't like it. I like eating. I'm glad I don't have to come home from work and try to figure out someone's already fenced it for me. He's already put effort into it, perspiration into this thing, and cleaned the house. I got home last night, and our house was all decorated for Valentine's Day when I left. And I got home, it's all decorated for spring. And all the Valentines and all the hearts and all the decorations are gone. Someone put some effort into that thing. A principal's put an effort into that Christian school. A secretary and the administration is putting some perspiration into that, putting effort into that. Those school teachers are pouring their lives into your life. Those college professors and the food services and the security, they're putting, and God's people here that pay to help underwrite this whole ministry, God's people are working so hard for you. The Bible says he fenced it. He pulled out all the things. Your daddy's trying to make sure that there's not bad things on that computer. Your mother's trying to make sure that television doesn't have wrong things there. Thank God for people that perspire on our behalf. Thank God for the grandmothers you have that are on their knees or they're praying in their little chair. My little grandkids. My grandkids. You have a grandmother that prays for you. She's fencing it right now. She's getting the rocks out in your path of your life. Perhaps it's grandmother's prayer that's going to keep you safe on the journey of life. Not only do I see potential here in a fruitful hill and perspiration here, I find perplexity. Perplexity. Verse 4. Let's read it together to the word vineyard. Ready? Begin. What could I have done for? What else could I have done? What else could have I done for my children? What else could have I done for that marriage? I've pastored so many people for so long. Some of you had a mate walk out on you. I'm thinking, what? That's a good man. That's a good lady. What are you thinking? And they stay true to God. Some of you have been hurt by your children. So hurt. So hurt. And here's God. He's perplexed. God, our God, what more could have I done for my vineyard that I have not done in it? What could have I done? What more? What better education could have I given? What better meals could have I given? What more prayer could I give? What more Christmas presents and birthday parties? What more could have I done? And then we go to Bible colleges and we get kicked out of Bible colleges. And a parent receives you as you come back home. The parents say, what else could have I done? I've been working another job trying to help my kid through college. What more could I have done for these kids? The perplexity. Sometimes when I watch people backslide, get away from God, I'm thinking, what else could have I done, Lord? That mother, what else could have I done? I find there's potential was there, and perspiration was there. and perplexity was there. I find that punishment. I believe I'll call, close with this. Verse 5. And now I go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and shall beat it up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste, shall not be pruned. Dig, that there shall come up briars, thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. God says, I'm going to have to deal with you. In our psalm book, there's that song on 143. I sing it often. The older I've become, I sing this so regular to myself. I sing it driving down the road. Now, I sing songs of joy and happiness, but I sing this song, Joy Comes in the Morning, so often. You have knelt beside the rubble of an aching, breaking heart, and here's the phrase, and the things you gave your life to fell apart. You're not the first to be acquainted with sorrow, grief, and pain, but the Master promises sunshine after rain. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night. Hold on, my child. The darkest hour means dawn is just in sight. I speak so complimentary of the great people of gospel light, but don't you ever think for a moment that I'm comparing them. I wish that you could be like them. That'd be like a husband saying, well, this is a good woman. I wish, honey, you were like her. I pastor the greatest church in all the world. But I've been going to that church for about 30 years, preaching there. I think Brother Luke counted for me. I've preached behind that pulpit 108 times, 108 messages. That doesn't include radio and things of that nature up there. I've developed a love for those people. Most of them have stayed a lifetime. They've been burying about two people a week for the last 30-something years. I think basically, I'm not trying to be humorous, person and a half. They have so many funerals. While I was there, I was reading the newspaper about the homegoing of yesterday, homegoing of Brother Bobby Robertson. And then I saw in the obituary another person, longtime member of Gospel Light Baptist Church. A lot of those folks that I've known for so many years are home with the Lord. A lot of those folks I know, I'm talking about their over 50 years, their bus ministry has been going, and a lot of those bus captains are in their 70s and 80s. You might remember years ago, we brought a fellow out here, Red, Brother Bobby, Red, won him to Christ probably 50 years ago. Red is not, he had red hair, but he doesn't have red hair now, I'll tell you that right now. It's white hair. Red was on his bus this morning. He's about 80-something, I think, picking up boys and girls. They still have a mission. They still have a race to run. I saw so many of those people at the viewing and for a few moments, but then yesterday, that funeral Friday, I guess, they said, oh, Brother Jack, oh, Brother Traber. They call me by name. They say, you pray for my grandson. He's still backslidden. He grew up in the school here. He's just so far away from God. You pray for my granddaughter. Oh, what a mess. I think I know those people very well. I think almost without fail, every one of them has shattered dreams. And I've pastored you, so many of you, if I've pastored you longer than 20 or 25 years, I guarantee it, you have a shattered dream. Sometimes I can hardly stop from weeping as I'm going through the people of our church that I think this is not how they planned it. They poured their life into this fruitful vine, and only to be paid back with shattered dreams. That last stanza, to invest your seed and trust in God, in mountains you can't move. You have risked your life on things you cannot prove, but to give the things you cannot keep for what you cannot lose is the way to find the joy God has for you. Hold on, my child. I thought of that dear lady at that airport. For 20 years, I had a perfect child. I've never opened the letters. They're waiting. One day, that mother's going to die. And that grandmother that apparently hasn't seen that baby. And somehow when they sift through the belongings of mama, and it's amazing how people show up to start sifting, she's going to find those letters. And she's going to realize that someone's heart was buried on that child. Whenever the lady's birthday, I don't know if she's 23, 4, 5, 6, 7, but she'll get a letter sealed on her next birthday. Put in the file. Shattered dreams. Our God has some shattered dreams. He sees to it we have life, and He has a plan, a purpose for our life, and then we reject it. Let's stand together, shall we? Our Father,